I was just gonna say, just remember that we don't really have a real big open. We just kind of start going.
No, do you? Do you do? You know what I mean? Yeah, we just get on with this. it's like, ooh, yeah, trying to talk.
No worries.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of Dead Zone, the podcast. Today, we're interviewing Craig Burks from Uncertain Scenery. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for being. Actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rick is here, too. I always skip over introducing the other host before I introduce the guest.
Hey, yeah, I'm here. It's okay.
But you have, listeners have likely heard Rick and I talk at length about Uncertain Scenery and how much fun it is to have it as an addition to our Dead Zone boards and things like that. A lot of great MDF stuff have come out of your business there, and so wanted to take this chance to chat with you and kind of get a little bit more of you know, your story to our listeners, and maybe pick your brain on a couple of things.
Yeah, that's fine. Yes, carry on. So, well, I was off work due to some long-term sickness, really, to start off with. And my friend had sort of dragged me to Salute, which is the largest wargaming sort of convention in Europe at one point, I think. And I saw a lot of MDF stuff. A lot of simple kits, and they were very basic. You know, it was like four walls, you could see all the tabs, and I thought that's just not good enough in my eyes. And you know, I decided to do something better. And I basically, there was a local sort of, I won't call them a charity, but the other place had a laser cutter where you could hire it for a few hours, and I got a few designs going, test cut them on there. And I'd been talking to a friend of mine who ran Dark Ops. If you've ever heard of that MDF company, you know those?
That one I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, I don't know about that one myself.
They did like a few buildings and stuff like that. But Dark Ops had just been bought by Sarissa, actually, for them. They do a nice boat and stuff.
Okay.
So, excuse me. So he told me, said, yeah, go for it. Just send them out there. So I did. I just went to the loan of Dad. the bank of Dad.
Yeah.
And they gave me some money. And I bought my machine and found a place to go and made my own website. And got jumped in from there. It was all sort of like, get it done now. And it served as a focus for my head. It was, you know, because I was off with mental illness, so it was more like a focus as well. Helped me out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of scenery did you start with?
Excuse me?
What kind of scenery was it that you started with?
It was the actual Dead Zone 10 was mil it? Boards. Yeah.
Nice.
Not Dead Zone, Drop Zone.
Drop Zone, okay.
Drop Zone, sorry, yeah, my fault. It was a small 10 mil Drop Zone boards because I'd seen the paper things that you got with Drop Zone, and they had all these underpasses and things like that. And I thought, well, if you're going to put that kind of underpass on a piece of card, get a board where you can actually show it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'd seen other versions, and they just weren't deep enough. So I thought I'd make it so you can actually get your figures under the bridges and hide them and drop them down and things like that, and do a full road layout. And then that expanded into the Dead Zone high boards, because the prototypes were the same height at around 2 inches.
Yeah.
Then I thought that's just not deep enough, so we went to obviously the 3-inch cube
mm-hmm.
size boards. So, and then it's expanding from there, really doing the base boards, and then it was this expanding to that. So, just expanding out.
and that kind of speaks to like your process a bit there. And one of the things that's we've really liked about Uncertain Scenery stuff is that it's also very like it's built to the scale, but with the intent is like, okay, you are going to have guys that you want to put in these locations. You don't want it just to have it be kind of this fancy fluff on a board. Like, it's not just window dressing. It's like, hey, this is an environment that you are putting your guys in.
Yeah, you have to work with a certain compromise. So you go, this looks really cool, but I can't get any figures or my club hands in there to put my miniatures in. So you sort of have to make things slightly bigger so you can get your fingers in and your figures in, but try and make it look cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a friend of mine, he said you've got this certain aesthetic when you come to your work that it looks real. And I said, and he said it's probably my background because I used to do a lot of art when I was younger.
Okay.
And I was an engineer by trade. So mixing those two things together gets you that sort of aesthetic, which is you get this sort of functionality that looks like it will actually exist in the real world, and you know the parts look like they will hold the other part up.
Whereas
some MDF companies will do a piece, make it look good, but you can't see any support, you can't see any engineering behind it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always funny, like. When we talk about some of your stuff, and I know Rick in particular likes to demonstrate how he can literally stand on his dead zone, one of the dead zone blocks.
I wouldn't stand on the dead zone blocks because they're a little not as strong as say the road boards that don't have all the internals.
Correct.
But because the road boards have got the cross underneath and the four walls, those will definitely.
So it was the original release that I first bought from you.
Yeah.
The four sections. And just one of them, you had done a video where you stood on one. And I think it was one of your 50 mil that you stood on.
Yeah.
And I was just curious. So I put it down and I'm like, I wonder if this really would hold my weight.
Okay. Now
I'm 300 pounds. So just so you know, that original Dead Zone Scenery will hold 300 pounds.
Yeah, well, it was when I put some of my original work on Facebook, somebody asked in a comment and he said, will it survive the fat boy lean? This is one of the this is one of the comments that came across, you know, obviously somebody leaning across the board, putting their hand straight in the middle. Is it going to snap on you? So, and we tested it, and that was me testing it. I stood on one. That was the answer to that question. Yes, it will.
that's a question that you really don't think about a lot of times, like when you're putting these kind of things together. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you're making a baseboard to put lots of scenery on, you know, metal miniatures, resin miniatures, and then somebody leans 3 foot across the board to move a miniature, you know, it's not going to want to collapse under his weight, is it? So you don't want it breaking.
Absolutely.
But I've also found that if you laminate the actual MDF as well, which is why I say the MDF with depth, if you've got more than one thickness, if even just a 3 mil or even or different layers, if you laminate it with the glue, it still makes it stronger.
So right.
You've got extra strength in there, which is why you can have several small layers of the thinner stuff, and it will still stand up to a bit of battering.
So what games have you seen on your boards? I mean, I know, obviously, Dead Zone.
We've played AVP on my boards.
Nice.
I think a guy bought a 15mm set for the old Halo game that went out of production. In fact, my mate has an AVP video on his YouTube channel, which has got about 3,000 likes so far.
Nice.
So that's quite a good one. What else have we seen? I think people have bought it for 40k. In fact, my same mate who's done the AVP board is getting a 6x4 setup of Dead Zone boards.
Mm-hmm.
to just play 40k on. So it'll give them that line of sight blocking by sneaking through the tunnels and stuff. So.
I think I need to buy like six. I think I'm at six more pieces, and I'll have a 6x4 of your stuff.
Well, you did say you make it and I will buy it. That was your line.
It was, and it's been rough because I get online and I'm like, ooh, he's got more stuff on there. I don't have that one. I don't have that one. Crap, Bill.
Well, the ramp, I did the drop, words today, Greg. But I did the landing pad because a customer came to me and says, I want a landing pad that fits on top of this second level board. And he said, I just want a slab of wood. And obviously with my head, you can't do that. So, and that's why it's got all the girdy details underneath, and the edge pieces have got, so you can stick safety nets around the outside, which is just shown this Sunday, actually. It's just shown adding safety nets to that landing pad.
Nice.
So, and then the ramp that came from that, somebody else came, ooh, will that fit in Dead Zone? And I went, it's a little large for Dead Zone. So then that's why the new Dead Zone ramp came from that. So it's like the amount of times customers have said, will you do this? And it's extended to other work, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
things like the little staircases, the little ramps. I've got to do a lot of small stuff because all my stuff coming so far is rather large.
Now, of course, this is Dead Zone the podcast, so we're mostly sci-fi. But your fantasy stuff, your castle, two of my favorite pieces of yours are both fantasy. Your windmill and your bridge.
Yeah.
See, yeah, the covered bridge, I looked at Sleepy Hollow, and as did the actual full, what's it for that bridge, this is the Sleepy Hollow bridge. And that it's almost an exact copy of that bridge, because all the internals of the roof are all exactly the same. That's several screenshots of making that thing. Ripping screenshots and going, there's that bit work. And actually looking at other covered bridges in America to work out how it went together, which is why it goes together almost like you're putting together a covered bridge. You know,
it's insane.
Yeah, because the bottom pieces go together. You stick the side pieces, you stick the planks on, and that's how it goes together. It goes together like a covered bridge.
and I'll throw out there too, like your sets are not complicated. Like, you don't need an engineering degree to put them together. You do a great job of you know, have as I think it's usually even like one to two sheets of paper as far as instructions go, but it all really, like, it fits together very well. You can always like test a fit before like gluing it, which is always a plus. You know, you can always make sure, okay, this is fitting the way I want. This is how it all needs to come together, and you still get that level of engineering where it's sturdy, it's gonna stand the test of time, and you've got a great looking feature for your board.
Yeah. The dry fitting, so other friends of mine have put, like, say, the Dead Zone boards together. They dry fit them, and they can pick them up. Mm-hmm. It's just dry fitted, you know. Yeah. You know? And it's ease of putting together as well. And I know I changed how I put the Dead Zone boards together between the first and second edition,
mm-hmm.
Because I changed some of the order of how things slot together. And it means you're not trying to have six hands trying to hold something where you can just one piece in, add another piece in, and it'll sit by itself while you put
the elevator piece. The elevator piece is a perfect example of that, because I have the circle one and I have the square one.
Yes, they do hold themselves up, really. there was an option where we were trying to motorize that. One particular option, we were trying to get basically threaded rods underneath the actual lift, and then to lift the entire thing up.
Oh man!
On motor. I have some mad genius friends that want to try things. They just want to try. This is where all the lighting rigs come from, and
the lighting rigs that people have put together are fantastic.
Well, the one that's in the Dead Zone board, he got between the holes in the supports, he put some clear acrylic rod,
mm-hmm.
and he put an LED at every end, and he attached it to an something called an Arduino board, which is like a little mm-hmm. Raspberry Pi sort of style thing. And he could have the lights on in these, they look like fluorescent tubes. And then every now and again, you could time it so one fluorescent tube just flickered. And I just went like, that's awesome. It's like, oh, flickering, just random timer flickering that to me. Because as an electrical engineer, seeing flickering and fluorescent tubes is something you see every time you look around.
Right.
So it's like watching one in a panel like that just makes them look more realistic, you know. And you're sitting there with your miniatures, and all of a sudden, you know, the light flickers, sort of gets you into the game, and gets your head into the scene, sort of.
Yeah, that's the part I love about your scenery, is that immersion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like it's just not a scattered board of terrain like you're playing paintball or something. You have a roadway, you have this hallway down and these stairs going up, and like your towers. For sci-fi, I mean, it makes sense what it is. So when you're playing with it on the board, I mean, it looks like that really is a security tower.
Yeah, well, the actual idea behind the towers is the hole in the middle was meant to, you could stick loads of acrylic pipes down, so you could have it look like the pipes go up the middle of the, sort of in the Necromunda-esque style, sticking loads of pipes down the middle of the towers. Which is why the cages and ladders on the outside. But there is, as I've just done the fancy tower with the spiral staircase in, I'm trying to do a sci-fi version of that, where it still fits on the same footprint. So you'll still have the legs that come out and lock together, but the spiral staircase will go up the middle to give you a different tower-esque look.
So it'll still be that 4-cube base?
Yeah, it'll still be 4-cube. It'll still be sort of 4x4, but you'll have a spiral staircase in the center, not a ladder on the outside. So
very cool.
So that's coming to sci-fi. I know somebody suggested something the other day, but my brain's I just lost that item.
No worries. So to kind of dovetail on what we were just talking about, with the community that's kind of come up around your uncertain projects. Your uncertain project.
Don't worry, the name was a friend of mine who unfortunately has passed away.
Sorry.
Years ago. Well, no, he came up to me and says, "What are you going to call the company?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm completely uncertain." He went, "Well, that will make a nice name for a company." So that's where
uncertainty
comes from. And Unlucky Bob was, God, Unlucky Bob was something to do with a role playing game we were playing. And we couldn't remember the name of an NPC. So we called him Bob. And
great
he got
name
shot.
For an NPC. Oh.
Well, yeah, he got shot. He got eaten by ice trolls. So that's why he's on the floor. So he fell off a cliff, got eaten by ice trolls.
Oh,
and then
wow. He does sound very unlucky. but when I was... wanted to kind of speak to is like you were saying, like there's been some really creative uses of the scenery that you've built. And so I was just kind of curious, like what have you seen that you're like, man, I didn't think of that or that was amazing.
There's a guy called Rufus McNeil. He's on Facebook. It's Clan Mac something, his post-apocalyptic sort of settings. And he did. He wanted to create the array from Fallout 4.
Mm.
Yeah, the big what's the array? So he got one of mine and he'd taken out certain panels and put stuff across, and it looks like the wrecked arrays, even though a lot smaller than the ones that are actually in Fallout 4. But still, he did that with that one. And then he took one of the radar dishes and he put wires going up the side of the radar. And you've got to think about it, that some of those beams are only 6 millimeters across.
Right.
And he's putting wires up to the end and a little danger of death box on it. And I'm like, how did you do that? He says, well, the wires are solder, so they stay in shape as you put them down. And then he got copper plating, he'd put the cleats that hold on the cable. I'm like, man, your eyesight must be like, because everything was stupendously tiny. And I was like, no. But then his other stuff is, oh man, some of his stuff on his site is so good. His paintwork, his attention to detail, and his painting. But then this is what I get from the other guys. Like I say, just before coming on here, somebody dropped an order on, and he seems to be a regular orderer of now, and he's been posting his stuff. But yeah, Dave Adams, his painting of my containers and my boards. He's the one last week that showed all the lit boards.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he's just put on today the landing pad with four flashing lights on.
Oh, man.
Well, I left several 3mm holes so you could put several 3mm LEDs throughout the entire pad and have it flashing like sort of Space 1999, you know, mm-hmm. It's pulsing this shape so you can land down and stuff like that. So some people just go nuts with the lighting rigs. The lighting rig we try. I might have to do the lighting rig for the far away boards and get this professionally done. But we're trying to find a way so we can, if when you connect your boards up, you only have to put one power supply in.
Ooh.
So you connect your boards in any way you want, and they all connect together electronically. Then you put your USB cable in because it's all 5 volts.
Mm-hmm.
So you just run it directly from your phone charger. And it lights all your boards up. So it's like, that's what I'm trying to get on. But it depends on interest. And at the moment, people haven't gone, are you going to do them lighting rigs? So I'm people say they want something. I'm not going to sort of, I can't spend the money. I don't have that kind of backing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
Very cool. There's some great stuff. And there's a Facebook group that you have, like, every Sunday is kind of like Post Your Build Sunday.
Yeah, I'd like to get more people on there. I don't mind regular posters. You know, if you've got your stuff and it's been posted the week before, post it again. I don't care. I'm trying to get some interest up. And I'm trying to get, because I've seen other sites that say, you know, what's your hobby round up for the weekend? And I know my stuff is niche. And I know terrain is a bit more niche than just random painting miniatures. But I'd like to get people to post their builds or what they've got. I know Rich has had stuff on before now. You know, Dave's posted something today. A guy called Chris Evans has done a really nice paint job on my boards. Have you seen his setup? Have you seen his Dead Zone setup?
I have.
I don't think I've seen it yet.
It's like a sandy coloured of the boards, and each square, each 25mm square, is sort of marked out on the top. Using an airbrush, and he's sort of hazard lined the outsides of them, and then all these Dead Zone plastic matches. So you can tell. And all my stairs match, and staircases match, because he had loads of staircases, and he just bought some ramps last week, so he'll be putting those in.
So. That's awesome.
It is. You look at what people have done with my stuff. Say Dave Adams, Chris Evans, Rufus. But even some of the 10mm boards, when they've done them, laid them out for Dead Zone and Drop Zone, sorry, and put everything's D Zone. and they put all the buildings and the miniatures on. It does look awesome. You know, we blew a few heads away when we went up to a local gaming store called Element Games in Stockport, and we took a full 6x4 setup, full set of buildings, MDF buildings, and had a game in front of everybody, and there was so much interest. Just people like, whoa, those look cool. And that's the kind of factor you want. You know, you want the wow factor when you put it.
your scenery definitely has the wow factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the people are enjoying playing, say, Necromunda on the Dead Zone boards. Another local gaming group is, say, is using them for for Necromunda. So. Yeah.
Okay.
So, talking over one another.
That's all right. I was just gonna kind of ask you if you had kind of a preferred scale that you like to design for, because I know you've got, is it 15 mil?
We've got 10 mil. We've got 6 to 8 mil or 6 to 10 mil, because the 6 mil hex boards are primarily for BattleTech, and I will expand on those sometime in the future, because I want level 1 depths as well as level 1 and 2 heights for BattleTech in those. There's 10 mil for 8 to 10 mil for your Adeptus Mechanicus drop zone. Now 15 mil, there are lots of things out there called grunts, and Halo was originally 15 mil, but there are lots of 15 mil sites out there. And obviously, I find it easier, as you can probably tell from the amount of stuff I've got on there, to design for the 28 mil, because you've got that room to put more scale in, more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start getting down to 10 mil, you know, yes, you can put the detail in, but you can't see it.
Yeah, it's really fine at that point, and probably becomes really fragile.
You look at the building I have, I can't remember what the 10 mil building is. I'm going to call it the Huang building, which is the octagonal building with all the windows in. And, you know, some of those beams across the windows are like less than a millimeter across. So it's like,
yeah.
You just got to, like, you can't get that detail in.
Right.
Whereas, you know, I've done an old-fashioned sort of diamond glass window for 28 mil, and the beams for that are 0.7 millimeters across. It's just like, so you can definitely go down to the scale. But, you know, obviously the bigger the figures are, the more you can push in to those small intricate details that give you that depth, which is what I try and get. You know, flat 2D stuff with in designs on is okay, but it's multiple layers is the way I look at it. Everything's got to be... So you can see, like, say, into it, not just look at it and look at like a cartoon. You've got to feel it and see into it, to me.
Yeah. And because it's, you know, you're playing on a 3D plane, it really, that depth in every direction is really important.
Yeah, well, the post-it, you know, post-it build Sunday, I posted today, of... He wanted a double road for use with Judge Dredd and stuff like that. So that double mega motorway with the raised heights, he's going to pour those resin cars in the bottom and fill that with an inch full of resin so it looks like it's flooded.
Oh, wow.
Holy crap.
And then he's going to build walkways that go between the cars so you can run between the cars and fight over that. And I, you know, I've left all the panels that go on the side. You can knock all those through so you could have people hanging out the side of those and all that kind of stuff. So all that setup can be used at all particular points. You go through it and under it and over it. And that's two levels lower. So you put two levels of buildings on top of that with walkways. And, you know, you've got a hab block, and you can have block wall between the two sides.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the picture right now, and I'm just imagining, you know, with it flooded, and Some really creative people out there.
Well, yeah, you flood that. You had two levels of buildings higher than that, or three levels of buildings higher than that on either side. Wow. With another walkway across the middle. You know, it's you're getting a bit nuts there. You are. Yeah, that is a block wall. You know what I mean? That's like just people shooting from either side and trying to take ground. It's, it's just, and that's what you want. You want war zones, to me, of all or gaming zones, have always been to about depth, flat 2D stuff. It's never been interesting to me. Even when I was playing third edition of 40K, that was a while ago. Don't give away the age.
Well, that's why I had such a hard time with things like Kings of War sometimes. It's because this represents this.
Mm-hmm.
But we switch over, and now I use your scenery on any Vanguard game I play. And it's like, yeah, that's actually a castle.
Yeah. The whole point is to use that for Kings of War Siege, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Because you can get a 50 by 50 base in the top of the towers, which is what you're allowed.
Exactly.
And you can get one inside. There's another one inside.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
But you can, when I was playing Third Ed 40K, I created raised platforms and raised roadways, and we did a game that was entirely done 3 to 6 inches above the main board, that if you fell off, you died.
That's now, perfect.
Now, when you're working with 40K miniatures, you've got big tanks rolling around on roads,
right.
6 inches above the board. You've got people with jump backs that sometimes can't make the jumps and things. It just made it an interesting combat situation because people were funneled down certain areas. So it forced them into combat where at some point, you know, you wouldn't have had that kind of interaction.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, you create avenues of contact.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't believe that, you know, this equal-sided board that I've seen for a lot of 40K tournaments, and I'm like, no, take what you give, take the scenery you've got, and then just throw it at the board. Whatever goes, and then you if it's unequal, it's unequal. You just have to try and work with what you've got.
Right. It's actually something Rick and I have been playing around with. We're creating, like, new Dead Zone scenarios and things like that, just kind of for the podcast and for fun. And a big emphasis for us is, like, there's so many symmetric missions in Dead Zone, which makes for a great, like, balanced tournament play and everything like that. But it's like, I kind of want some asymmetric ones where, you know, one player has maybe got a little bit of an uphill battle, or one player's, you know, kind of on the back foot initially and has to bounce back. Like, there's a fun challenge and you know, enjoyment from that kind of gameplay.
Yeah, well, I say again, third edition 40K, we had an asymmetric board where a friend of mine had got the old polystyrene castle. That's how old my friends are. for Warhammer, and he got like 1,000 points behind the walls, and I got 2,500 points outside the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to take the castle, and that's, yeah, we didn't care about who was equal as long as we had the two troops and one HQ. That was fine, so you just get on with it and you just play with what you got.
So we kind of touched on one topic I wanted to circle back to earlier. You mentioned the Sleepy Hollow with the covered bridge and everything like that. Yeah. I was kind of curious, like, where you do you like draw your inspiration from? I know you've got a lot kind of things from the community, but then, you know, it is very much like your vision that kind of builds it all together. So what kind of things do you go to find that inspiration?
Pinterest, Google. I my ideas just keep flowing. This is so I've got so many ideas for certain builds, but they're so huge. And right. It's like, I've got to think smaller to so people can buy. But I've got like some of the big ideas I've got. Like the idea for the next Slate setup is immense. If we ever get to go. But the setup I wanted was the, you know, the tower I had set up, the big sci-fi tower on one side with lots of walkways and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I wanted the wizard's tower that will be coming on the other side with sections of castle. And then they meet in the middle through a portal. So you've got a portal that sits between two walkways. Like there, which looks fantasy from one side and sci-fi from another, and then you've just got teams of miniatures sort of fighting over that portal essentially. And I just thought that would be
wow.
That would be a good show to bring, because the tower wowed everybody at the last salute I took it to. That's what drew people. We had people snapping necks on the way past. They like walk past and go, yeah, it's another MDF thing. What the? Yeah. And we saw them when we were laughing behind the thing, because we saw people like just walk past and then double take. And it was so funny. It was. So it was just watching people double take. And then that got me the interest from Foreground then, you know. The boss from Foreground came across and said, we like your stuff. And we're like, cool.
So, nice.
So that day, you know, being on shows, I know I've only been to like one. Unfortunately, but that gets you out there to the community, other than Facebook, because a lot of them don't use Facebook and social media and stuff. And really, I think if I actually went to a few more shows over the year,
you got to
I'd probably increase my base. Yeah, I've increased my fan base tenfold probably.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And kind of with that, I remember we did want to talk to you a little bit about, like, you know, for people that are maybe getting into, you know, wanting to dive into making scenery or doing, you know, starting a small business like this where you're making things for these other game systems and stuff. Do you have any advice for them or you know, avenues on you know, maybe this is a good starting point kind of thing?
If you think you can produce the scenery that people will buy, then do it. You know, try out on Facebook, you know, on all the groups that, you know, the scenery groups that are on there, the Necromunda. There's a group for every game.
Mm-hmm.
Or many groups for every game. Just put your stuff out there, and if people like it and you think you can make a business of it, look at those avenues. Go, you know, look at how you start a business. If there's a place, we've got the I went to a course at the what's it called? No, words have gone again. There was a there's a course run by the government, basically, by local businesses.
Okay.
To show you how to start a new business.
Gotcha, yeah.
They run through the basics with you. So I put myself on that. You know, I looked at what I could do, you know, if we could sell it, and just went for it. I had no choice. I had nothing to lose at what I was doing there, because I was off work at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially I had nothing to lose at that particular point. If you are in work, I'd do it part time to start off with. And then if it takes off, then you can, you know, if it's paying your wages, then it's a new job, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Chopper.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rob.
From Mobile Armor Radio.
And you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian in the morning.
Never heard of it.
I don't even know who those guys are.
And do you, are there any tools that you have found that make your life more easy when working with that? Because obviously, like MDF printers and 3D modeling is a big component. What do you use for those that side? Yeah. Well, there are a lot of like 3D modeling tools out there. I know AutoCAD is you know one that's built and designed for engineers, but I know there's like a Blender 3D.
Yeah, Blender's more 3D. Like to create STLs and things like that. It's not as precise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was working in 2D, I think Tinkercad is probably a good one, which is a free one. And I tried to get Fusion 360 down, but I couldn't get that to do my, which is the free one if you're with a business. That's another AutoCAD package.
Gotcha.
So Autodesk.
It's amazing how many free software there is out there. I mean, if you're trying to get started with something, there's a free option for it.
Yeah, Tinkercad, I've seen people use Tinkercad for 2D, and I've also seen they've done STLs for 3D printing on Tinkercad. So, you know, it's obviously a usable package for that. It's just this is what I knew. I'd had a copy for many years, and I'd been doing maps for role-playing games, just 2D. You know, there's a whole house in New Orleans sort of printed out, there's a church plus a full church in 2D, about three or four levels, ready for role-playing games on AutoCAD, spaceships for the Star Wars, so... I knew how to do it in 2D, and I just everything else I worked out by YouTube, Google. You work a program out by just doing it.
Yeah,
but that's just my attitude. Just get on with it.
that's a great, you know, a big part of that is you never take that, you know, if you don't take the first step, you're never gonna go anywhere. We were just kind of saying, there are so many free resources out there these days to really, you can really test the waters, so to speak. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm just going to dip my toe. I'm going to see, you know, can I do the 3D modeling part? Can I do the printing part? You know, whether that's 3D printing or MDF printing or what have you, like there's a lot of great tools out there. And listeners, if you have any, you know, that you recommend, you know, feel free to leave them in the show. In the comments.
Yeah, they're drawing packages. I've paid for like a normal photo editor package to get my website up and running.
Sure.
So you pay for that, and you know, and I've got you know, I pay for my website by a company called Shopify, which do the entire package is in there. It's so simple.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't got the big package. And if you look at my website, it's not that bad looking.
No.
No, it's incredibly easy to navigate too.
Yes, I tried to make it that way. Not against a lot of gamers, you've got to do everything towards the lowest common denominator.
I think that's just e-commerce in general.
Yeah.
Not a knock against gamers.
Try to make it simple, which is why again the instructions are as the instructions for the models are simple. You know, I've tried to break them down into this is a good place where you can pause and put it to one side while you look at the instructions for the next bit. But some of them, the work is fiddly. Some of the new things are very fit.
Yeah, Brian, you definitely need to get a windmill and put that thing together. It's fairly easy. It's easy to put together, but it's definitely a lot more intricate than the Dead Zone boards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that one comes like a cross-sectional too, right?
Yeah, you pull the back off so you can get all your miniatures in, and you can take the roof off so you can get in as well. But even the rear windmill, the one that sort of steers it towards the wind, you can get a figure on there as well. Because I looked at real sort of Dutch windmills and various designs to come up with that sort of look. You know, so you could get out onto the back to make that maintenance, because there's huge weights out there for a start. It's all. There's even a trap door that leads from the top through the cogs, so you can get into the. There's a ladder that leads up through a trap door, so you can get through the entire level physically.
That's awesome.
And it all comes apart. You can take all the walls out, like on the castle, out of the base piece, so you can just walk through. And you can just leave it. The reason I wanted to take the back off is so you could just leave it on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Without mm-hmm. taking layers off. So you could just go up. And I was trying to do that with the new towers I'm trying to do, but people want to take the layers off. And I think if you want more walls or more rooms in a level, you're going to need to take those layers off. So that's what I've gone for.
Gotcha.
So what do you have on the horizon?
On the horizon so far for this, hopefully the end of this year, which was going to be a fantasy sort of year, but certain sci-fi things kept interjecting themselves.
Oh, darn.
But there is a new... I'm going to call it the Border Keep, which is a 9-inch square tower with a full interior on every level, which you can take apart. So it'll be four floors plus the battlements on top.
Oh, wow!
And it'll be basically, I'll have to do some extra wall sections so you could fit it in with the. Either in the corner of the castle or mid-wall. So I'll have to make some 3-inch or inch and a half sort of sections of wall so you could mix all that in. And as a section of that, there's... I know I previewed the Wizard's Tower, it must have been 12 months ago, and
yeah.
I just hit a massive brick wall with design. It just... I couldn't get anywhere. And then this last week, it's been flowing really well because I've changed the base to this 9-inch multi-level version. Well, that's going to be a different design than the different castles and walls I have. Because the castle and wall and the history behind those are going to be more human based, but the base to the Wizard's Tower is going to be more dwarven base, so the design's going to be a little different. Sci-fi wise, oh god, I'd say there's the extra tower I was thinking of bringing in with the spiral staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, oh, there's a version of the boards that was... God, my work in progress file's slightly large at the moment. But there's a version of the boards that there's no covers over the center. And they have a walkway on one side, like on... Have you seen the Faraway boards, how they look? Have you seen the Faraway?
The new ones that are more square rather than kind of jagged?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a walkway down that fits down one side of the straight, and then a T-shaped walkway that fits across the entire thing. And what I was going to do is do full interiors for the inside of those.
Oh.
It's a bazaar, because somebody asked for a cyberpunk bazaar. So each section will have an archway that you could go into the back. And I was going to make some acrylic signs with, you know, generic named stores.
Sure.
That would sit, would slot into the walkways and things like that. So that's one idea. But obviously, that's later. That's another. It's another depth board. You see, it's
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other option is to do a 15mm and a 28mm version of the 10mm Huang Tower. So, again, it's a multi-level building for each one. 15mm would be more solid and just placed on the board, but 28mm will be a full interiored one. Again, goes into my full 28mm sort of poncho. I could probably do the 15mm as an interior as well, but it'd be a lot more difficult. Sort of, the walls would be a lot thicker. So, but yeah, I was thinking of doing like a multi-layered tower where I did the base, a level, plus like the penthouse that fits on the top. And then you could buy more multi-levels to make it as tall as you wanted. Then, you know, so I'll buy a level, plug it in. So you just buy more levels later on, so your tower will just get bigger. So you could do the raid, basically. You could do the raid, couldn't you?
Go up the tower. that movie, oh man, if you could do a whole apartment building, or even like the latest Dread movie was like a big apartment complex like that.
As a 2018 fan, when I saw that film, I was blown away.
So good.
So good. It's a shame they just messed it up with the marketing and it didn't get the love it deserved.
Yeah. But well, very cool. Hopefully we've really, those are some really awesome projects to hear are on their way. Obviously, you know, it's with a small shop, it could take some time to get to it, but very exciting.
It's with one man, one machine. You know, it does take time to get all these different things out. The amount of times I've been mistaken for a company of many. It's okay. it's just me. I can't really do that much stuff.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully we've really piqued people's interest in your product. There's been so many great things from Uncertain Scenery, both in the past. The present has some great stuff, and it sounds like we even got some better stuff for the future. So if folks were looking to, you know, maybe start out, do you have a recommended package that you have available? And or we're coming up on the holiday season. Do you have any special promotions going on?
Well, coming up on the holiday, we will probably just have the usual Christmas giveaway. So it'll be the free sort of £50 for draw for Christmas. But we're at the moment we're running obviously the Black Friday deals.
Sure.
But they'll be gone come Cyber Monday.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it'll just be the giveaway over Christmas. But probably the best bet if you want to start Dead Zone is obviously the 28mm bundle. You get basically four boards for the price of three. So,
which is really a complete Dead Zone mat. Like they fit on perfectly.
It's a 2-foot by 2-foot map, you know. And if you want to try something different, you know, you're adding a road board or something like that to start your Dead Zone off, you know. Rich has shown that just using one Dead Zone board in the original of the neoprene mats still works as long as you attach stuff to it and make it go up. And then I think Chris put two on top of one another and had various layers coming off and all sorts of things. So they're all pretty modular, and I try and fix everything in the new walkways, the hex ones slot straight into your Dead Zone stuff and on top of my towers and all sorts. So
yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, they were an extension of the hex containers I started, because I saw the containers and thought, oh, maybe they just dig one out to turn into a walkway. So that's what I did. So broke that up.
Nice. Well,
I had to create a structure so it was a 3-inch cube and so you could get your miniatures in. So just change the structure on them slightly. But they stack on top of each other first before they actually slot in. So they're perfect height. So
well, excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Craig.
Yeah, it's nice to be here, man. Nice to be asked. To be honest.
Of course. We like we said at the start of the show, we talk about Uncertain Scenery a whole lot, because it's such a great addition to our Dead Zone scenery, and so it was a real pleasure to have you on the show here to kind of tell a little bit more about your story and your kind of journey to get here and all the other cool crazy things that are in the works.
Yeah, well, there's lots of others in my head. It's just they are really big items.
Oh yeah. Well, cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and with that, I think we will wrap up.
Yep. Yeah. See you later.
Thanks for coming on, Craig. This has been awesome. And now I'm doing math to see if I can buy stuff.
I think everyone's doing that at the moment. Buy some money.
I mean, seriously, you put out a couple things that I need.
Right. Same. Yeah,
not that I want, you need.
I need.
There's a different need there, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm also thinking of getting... Like, I don't need it, but I think I want another normal board piece, just so I can put it together on Twitch.
Yeah, we've started doing a lot more video stuff.
This whole Twitch thing, so...
Well, yeah, I keep umming and ahhing about doing a YouTube channel, putting boards together, showing, battles on my stuff. So I was going to ghost all my mates' stuff across to start off with and then try and get some content, but as we can't meet, it's difficult to get somebody to video me.
Yeah.
to do the stuff. But a YouTube channel would also expand my base, I think.